goodbyes. I got misty eyes as they said farewell. But I'll know where several are if my dreams get real bizarre. Cause I saved a few and I keep them in a jar.
My name is Victoria Ketty, and you are listening to WGXC, Accra, 90.7 FM.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com. Or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joshua Mail of Seattle, Washington. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Trying to feel it. Every time I see it, well, I'm gonna break through it. Gotta just be happy and do it. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Claire, and I'm from Athens, and I'm 8 years old.
I'm Amelia, and I am also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. We're often joined by our friends Georgia and Fatia. I don't believe they're joining us today. We'll see. I know Georgia's in the middle of a play recently. Our school is doing, I think it's called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, or something like that at the Charlie Brown themed thing. So hope they're having fun with that. But I'm excited to talk with you all about some books.
Yay.
Or bookish things. So Amelia, why don't we start with you today?
Okay, I've got a couple books that I think would be interesting. The first one is one I do not have, but one that is currently on my wish list. It is called The Radium Girls, The Dark History of America's Shining Women by Kate Moore. It is a historical nonfiction book about America and its history with the element radium, which as we know today is a very radioactive and dangerous element. But that was not known back then. And so the Radium Girls were the women employed to paint watch faces for soldiers with radium, because radium would glow and it was therefore it was useful for soldiers during the war. Unfortunately, they obviously had a lot of negative side effects after years and decades of being exposed to this very toxic paint. And that this book is about that and how the government tried to cover it up often. So that's what that book is about.
Sounds interesting.
It is very interesting. The Radium Girls is one of those historical like horrors that I am very intrigued by.
I heard about that too, about Radium Girls on a video.
On a video?
Cool.
That's cool.
The other book I actually have physically with me, I haven't opened it up yet, but I recently finished the book Tender as a Flesh, and I'm starting a much chiller book after that called The Witch's Complete Guide to Tarot by Patty Wigington, which is a basically a how-to guide for tarot reading. I already have quite a few tarot decks, one based off the movie Labyrinth. Others are just different art styles that I find interesting. And this book teaches you how to pick your deck, how to protect your deck, how to do different spreads, what each of the cards mean, and basically how to, it's just a general basic guide to tarot, which I find very interesting. And I've always found this kind of stuff interesting. So I picked it up and I got it. It was a complete impulse buy, but I like it. It has very pretty art.
Do you know anything about the history of tarot? I just realized I don't. Like,
far back. I don't know the history of it. I know how it's used, how some people use it. I think the most widely accepted tarot deck is the what's it called? There's a certain deck that is like the most well-known one. It's the one I have, called the Rider-Waite-Smith deck is the most widely used one. That's the history of the cards themselves. I don't know where the history of the practice itself comes from though, but maybe I'll find that out while reading this.
Perhaps. That'd be interesting. That sounds like a good book. You have a couple good lined up. Very different.
Mm-hmm. Very different.
So is this from your to read pile that you're trying to make your way through?
Of course not. I just bought this.
Because why read your to read pile when you can add to your to read pile?
Yeah, I was originally going out to get notebooks and like stuff to sketch in. And then I saw this and I was like, well, I can't just not buy that. That would be a travesty.
That would be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
A real shame. Well, I hope you enjoy those and then get back to your to-read list, perhaps. Although I have no problem with you adding to your to-read list. It's part of the journey of life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for sharing those. Why don't we hear from Claire and see what you have to share today?
I have 13 Moons on a Turtle's Back. A Native American Year of Moons. Joseph Bronchak and Jonathan London, illustrated by Thomas Locker. And yeah, it's all about the moons of each month, 13 moons on Turtle's back. It's really good for right now. And if you want to look for one, here's a clue of one. The maple sugar, if you get this book, the one that we're in is maple sugar moon. So look for that one. That one's the month that we're in. That's a moon that we're in, maple sugar moon. Because we're harvesting maple syrup. Actually, at my school, we're harvesting maple syrup.
Oh, nice. I love maple syrup. It's the best sweetener ever. I don't think I've read that book before, but I love Joseph Bruschak. He's a really great author. He's written a ton of books. And Thomas Locker was an artist in the Hudson River School, and he lived in the area, in the Catskills. And then at some point, I think was in Albany as well. So he's somewhat of a local artist illustrator, but he did a lot of beautiful artwork that you can see in museums or you can see in books. It's really cool. Can you tell us a little bit about what the book's about?
It's about all the moons of the year.
What is the turtle part?
That's the name. People thought about it, I guess. That's what they used to represent it, maybe.
13 moons on Turtle's back.
Turtle's back.
It says the 13 scales on old turtle's back hold the key to the 13 cycles of the moon and the changing seasons. And there's poems. The book is a collection of poems with paintings.
Yeah, it is apparently a Native American Year of Moons. It's a lyrical poems talking about the wonders of the seasons. Cool. I thought it was a Native American legend. It sounded familiar, and I read some of those in college.
Mm-hmm.
For projects.
That's very cool. I'll have to check that one out. I like poems, and I like learning about Native American culture, and I like the moon. The moon is great.
I feel like there are a lot of interesting myths regarding the moon. It's something a lot of cultures apparently were very fascinated with. So I think the only one who hasn't spoken yet is you, Emily.
I am, and I don't have a new book to talk about because the last book that I talked about on the radio show is also the last book that I finished.
Oh my goodness. This is a first.
Yeah, so last week I talked about On Air with Zoe Washington, which is a sequel to From the Desk of Zoe Washington. And I finished that book over the last week. I had read about a half of it when I talked about it last week, and it continued to be very good when I finished it. So I don't have a new book to talk about just yet. The new book that I've started is an adult book, so I'm not talking about that one yet.
Okay.
Until I know if it's age appropriate for our youth radio show. But I pulled up some poems that I could share to celebrate the start of spring. I found these on poets.org. You can do a search for spring poems for kids, and it'll give you a bunch of different poems that you can check out. They have other themes too, but I went to the spring ones because I want to celebrate spring, which is a lovely time of year. So excited. I love spring. So we'll start with this one. It's called Cherry Blossoms. So I know we don't have those quite yet, but we can dream about the future of cherry blossoms coming our way. And this is by Toy Derricote. And here it is. I went down to mingle my breath with the breath of the cherry blossoms. There were photographers, mothers arranging their children against gnarled old trees, a couple hugging asks a passerby to snap them like that, so that their love will always be caught between two friendships, ours and the friendship of the cherry trees. Oh, cherry, why can't my poems be as beautiful? A young woman in a fur-trimmed coat sets a card table with linens, candles, a picnic basket, and wine. A father tips a boy's wheelchair back so he can gaze up at a branched heaven. All around us, the blossoms flurry down, whispering, be patient, you have an ancient beauty. Be patient, you have an ancient beauty. That was Cherry Blossoms by Toy Derricote, who I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing their name right. And that was from The Undertaker's Daughter. And
speaking of spring, today at school, when I came home, I saw a bee and I saw crocuses or tulips at school. Wow.
Yeah, we have some crocuses coming up at my house.
Some stuff is coming up in my mom's garden finally.
Yay.
It's exciting.
For the garden to explode.
I'm ready for slightly warmer weather. Not too hot, but not too cold. And that's my favorite.
All right. So I'm going to go farther back in time for this next one. So this one is called Dear March, Come In. And it's by Emily Dickinson. Dear March, come in. How glad I am. I hoped for you before. Put down your hat. You must have walked. How out of breath you are. Dear March, how are you? And the rest? Did you leave nature well? Oh, March, come right upstairs with me. I have so much to tell. I got your letter and the birds. The maples never knew that you were coming. I declare how red their faces grew. But March, forgive me. And all those hills you left for me to hew? There was no purple suitable. You took it all with you. Who knocks? That April? Lock the door. I will not be pursued. He stayed away a year to call. When I am occupied, but trifles look so trivial as soon as you have come. That blame is just as dear as praise, and praise as mere as blame. Wee. Sorry, I don't know why that made me say wee. But it did.
Sometimes it's just what you gotta do.
That's what March says and April says, is they're coming back to us. Wee. Here's another one. This one is called Monadnock in Early Spring. And I like this one in part because I grew up in New Hampshire and there's a mountain called Mount Monadnock that I used to often go on hikes to. So it reminds me of that. So this is Monadnock in Early Spring by Amy Lowell. Cloud-topped and splendid, dominating all the little lesser hills which compass thee, thou standest bright with April's buoyancy, yet holding winter in some shaded wall of stern steep rock and startled by the call of spring, thy trees flush with expectancy and cast a cloud of crimson silently above thy snowy crevices where fall pale shriveled oak leaves while the snow beneath melts at their phantom touch. Another year is quick with import. Such each year has been. Unmoved thou watchest all and all bequeath some jewel to thy diadem of power, thou pledge of greater majesty unseen. That's Monadnock in Early Spring.
Ooh.
Interesting to think of that kind of environment, you know, when you have the mountains, as we have the Catskills, where you're starting to see signs of spring kind of lower down, but you still see like little bits of winter in the higher areas, like the mountains still have.
Yeah. I have an uncle from Buffalo and he loves coming here during this time and seeing the landscape we have, because we don't think about it a lot, but we have a very nice view of the mountains from where we are in Hudson. And in Buffalo, it's more like just flat land, I guess. But it's very interesting and something we kind of take for granted.
Yeah. So I'll read a couple more. So I'll read one that's earlier spring and one that's later spring.
Okay.
So this one is called After the Winter. It's by Claude McKay. Someday when trees have shed their leaves and against the morning's white, the shivering birds beneath the eaves have sheltered for the night, we'll turn our faces southward, love, towards the summer isle where bamboos spire to shafted grove and wide-mouthed orchids smile. And we will seek the quiet hill where towers the cotton tree and leaps the laughing crystal rill and works the droning bee. And we will build a cottage there beside an open glade with black-dribbed bluebells blowing near and ferns that never fade. That's After the Winter by Claude McKay. It has very satisfying rhyming to it. I liked that one. So I'll read one more, and this is my at least annual reading of this poem. I love this poem so much. I feel like I read it every spring, and sometimes more than that. But this is by Ada Limón, who is the U.S. Poet Laureate currently. And this is a poem called Instructions on Not Giving Up. And I forget which of her books it was originally published in. I think it was in Bright Dead Things, but it may have been The Carrying. But here it is. More than the fuchsia funnels breaking out of the crabapple tree, more than the neighbor's almost obscene display of cherry limbs shoving their cotton candy colored blossoms to the slate sky of spring rains, it's the greening of the trees that really gets to me. When all the shock of white and taffy, the world's baubles and trinkets, leave the pavement strewn with the confetti of aftermath. The leaves come, patient, plodding, a green skin growing over whatever winter did to us, a return to the strange idea of continuous living, despite the mess of us, the hurt, the empty. Fine then, I'll take it, the tree seems to say, a new slick leaf unfurling like a fist to an open palm. I'll take it all. And that is Instructions on Not Giving Up by Ada Limón. And it is probably my favorite poem of all times. I love it. I love her poems in general. She's great. So I highly suggest checking out some of her work. And so you can find these and other poems on spring and otherwise on poets.org. But speaking of spring, I'm getting excited for one of my favorite springtime events that's coming up in May. First Saturday in May, to be exact, the Hudson Children's Book Festival here in Hudson, where we'll have tons and tons of authors and illustrators that write books for kids and teens in Hudson at the Hudson City School District at the junior senior high school to share their work and talk to people. And you can buy books, you can get some autographs, you can just say how much you like their work, you can learn about it. They do a lot of school visits when they're here. We're hoping to do our radio show again this year. Just have to figure out some scheduling around that, but we love doing the Bookfest radio show every year where we get to interview some of the authors and illustrators that come. But it's really a great festival, and I hope everyone out there listening checks it out. You can see who's coming at HudsonChildrensBookFestival.com. But yeah, you should save the date for Saturday in May of every year, except it was unfortunately postponed the past 2 years due to COVID. But it's back this year in person, and there's a really great lineup of authors and illustrators.
I'm so excited.
Yay! So many of our favorites. I remember how excited Georgia was when the author and illustrator schedule got shared for 2020. And it included Kayla Miller, who's one of her favorite graphic novel comic artists. And then the festival got canceled. So she's been waiting 2 years now to, no, 3 years. Wait a second.
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years now. Ooh, time flies. But yeah, it's going to be very fun, very exciting. Hope to see everybody there. Definitely save the date. Save up your book money. Is there anything you two are looking forward to this spring in particular?
Easter.
That's coming up. I'm excited for Easter too. So I'm going to.
So get your carrots and leave them outside.
You leave carrots outside?
Yeah, I didn't know it before, but then my mom told me.
It's nice. For the wall.
I just need to get myself some Cadbury cream eggs. I forgot.
Sort of wonder if sometimes Easter Bunny does like stuff inside where like if it's like really like if it's like snowing, they do it like inside, but I sort of want to do it outside this year.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some good weather.
Yeah, we'll get some good weather so that we can do it.
When I was a kid, somehow I liked the inside egg hunt more than the outside. I don't know why. It was fun looking for stuff in the house.
Because I have like sort of like a woods in my backyard.
How about you, Amelia? Is there anything you're excited for this spring in particular?
I can't think of anything in particular. But I am excited for Easter candy.
I'm excited for my backyard to gain some color once again. That'll be nice. I love when everything starts sprouting up. The crocuses are really early, but eventually other things will join them. I know something coming up this spring that I think will be pretty fun is the library is starting an anime club that is going to meet Tuesdays in April from 3:30 to 5 p.m. in the teen room. And our friend Amelia is going to facilitate the
teen room.
Yay!
It's only for teens.
It's for anime and manga fans ages 9 to 18.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm just like so close to being 9.
So close.
Okay. And I have to wait until next year because my birthday is in August.
Oh, we'll see. but for the club, they're going to watch anime. They're going to eat Japanese snacks. There's going to be some manga prizes. Oh, that should be really fun. I'm not eligible for it either because I am too old. But
you're never too old.
I'm really curious about the snacks, to be honest.
I'm still waiting for you to start reading Junji Ito.
I know. I should do one.
Yeah. Okay. Once I went to this camp, since you talk about Japanese stuff, once I went to this camp and there was this person who was Japanese there, and his family was just coming there for the summer, and they needed somebody to live with them that knew how to speak English. And so it was really cool because we did camp with him, and he brought, like, and once he, like, brought these, like, yellow, yummy snacks that are, like, sort of, like, I can't remember how they tasted, but I remember, like the bag was yellow and, like, the wrapper was yellow. Although some of my friends at camp couldn't have them because they're gluten-free and they couldn't know if it was gluten-free or not because it was in Japanese writing because like all like that stuff's like in Japanese writing.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I'm curious to see what the club watches and what they do and who comes. So if you're interested in learning more information about that, feel free to give a call to Tracy, our program director, at programs@hudsonarealibrary.org. Or give a call at 518-828-1792, extension 101. And again, that is an anime club at the Hudson Area Library in Hudson, New York for ages 9 to 18. And it's going to be Tuesdays in April from 3:30 to 5, so after school hours. And we'll be in the teen room. Very fun. Well, we're just about out of time for today. We hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. In the meantime,
bye.
Happy reading.
Happy reading. Bye.
Drop the bass.